Stugatz here for Advance Auto Parts. These days, it's good to be prepared, and that includes your vehicle. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment needed. Batteries start at just $79.99. They'll also have curbside pickup on any order. Enter the code DAN20 when you buy online to save 20% on your order. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details.
This is the Dan Le Batar Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Another Greg Cody Tuesday, a weekly celebration of white mediocrity.
Pachyderms.
What are you doing with pachyderms? You're now just uttering again just
things
that come
to your mind. I referred
to
an elephant earlier.
I know, but are you just caught? Like, what the hell is going on around here?
There was a link, obviously, between an earlier reference to elephants and the more formal
pachyderm. Why are you uttering a synonym for elephants for no reason about 30 seconds after we've discussed elephants?
There's a linear quality to the whole conversation.
Yeah.
You know, I hear silence, and I want to putty it in with a word, preferably a three-syllable word. Pachyderm.
This is another Greg Cody Tuesday. For over a decade, a weekly celebration of white mediocrity.
All right, Stugatz, I am vowing, okay? I'm vowing to try to be nicer to Greg Cody today. It's a vow I've made a lot of times. I tend to fail on this vow, but many people have complained that they're not, during the pandemic, getting enough of their beloved buffoon, Greg Cody. And so I want to be kinder to him, but you tell me what I'm supposed to do with the fact that last week, okay, he sent word, hey, look, I don't have any back in my day this week, but I'm going to start doing it every other week, and I'm going to begin next week. That next week is here, and he doesn't have a back in my day again, Stugatz. And I'm asking you, if I'm trying to be nice, how do I absorb that information as he continues to be the laziest, most entitled narcissist in the history of our show?
I would just say at this point, accept Greg for what Greg is. He might tell you one thing. You've done it with me for the most part. I would just say, listen, Greg might tell you he's going to have a back in my day ready. There's a good chance he probably won't. You just have to be prepared to roll with it. I understand your frustration. I understand you trying to be nicer to your friend as he gets older. I do. I get it. And I understand that he's very frustrating. But he is your friend, and he cares about you deeply, and you have to accept the people who are closest to you with all their warts, with everything. And Greg certainly has a zillion warts.
Can I get him to care about me a little less and care a little more about having personal and professional pride? Because I'd take that trade if I could just get him to do the one thing that we ask him to do around here once a week. I've been making fun of Greg Cody for a long time on this front, Stugatz. Yeah. I've called him an underwear columnist for a long time because his favorite kind of column to write is not talking to anybody, not doing any reporting. It's just sitting in his house in his underwear writing a column with no work whatsoever. He loves the pandemic because it allows him to sit around and just write underwear columns by mandate. And so my question to you, Cody, is what are you so busy with that you couldn't do a back in my day other than all of your restaurant visits as you go out actively seeking the pandemic? What are you doing with your days that you can't do the one thing that you're supposed to do around here weekly?
First of all, I am not actively seeking the pandemic. I'm heroically fighting to repel it. The underwear column is a pejorative. And the truth of the matter is I'm usually in khaki shorts, not underwear, when I'm writing those columns. But, you know, the truth of the matter is I had a back in my day ready to go. And I was in mid-research because, as you know, I like my back in my days to be educational. And this one was on picnics. I was going to lament the demise of the picnic and the wicker basket that I love so. But then I'm researching the etymology of the picnic, and it's all fun and good. And then I come to a jarring paragraph that I'm going to read verbatim and this is not funny. In the etymology of the word picnic, it says, the claim that the word picnic derived from lynching parties has existed in Black American communities for many years. And I came to a screeching halt because at no time, particularly at this time, I don't want to be anywhere near making a back of my day about something that has that paragraph.
All right, hold on a second. Hold on a second, okay? Because I got mad at breakfast the other day for telling me I was racist for having Aunt Jemima on the bottle, and now I'm getting mad at the idea of having a lovely picnic that I have never associated with what it is that he's talking about.
See,
does anybody? Is there anyone in our audience that associates? First of all, way to drag us right into a hole right at the start of the show. Okay,
like you're welcome.
Okay, it's not.
You sound terrible.
It's not just that he sounds terrible, and it's not just that he doesn't have a back in my day. I want you to examine what he just threw on my lap. I want you to examine the one time on this show that he's decided I'm going to do some research. I'm just going to read this directly, and I want you to examine sort of the detour we took. On, he could have done something else, but nope, he just immediately saw that with picnic and quit. Just quit. Yeah. It just quit working. Just went right back inside, and just stopped everything that he was doing.
I think the problem is that he was doing this research at like 11 p.m. last night.
Yeah. It seems like all he's been doing based on his Twitter timeline is episodes of his new podcast. I mean, it was released like 2 weeks ago. He's already on episode 18. So if you're looking for an answer, Dan, that's it. I mean,
all right. But lest you think that Greg Cody's self-involvement is something that cannot be exceeded, on this week's Greg Cody podcast featuring Greg Cody, you know who he talks to? Another man named Greg Cody.
It's glorious. Oh, it's must listen.
Is he an upgrade? Perhaps that Greg Cody should join us every Tuesday.
That Greg Cody is a puppeteer. He's an actual puppeteer. This is something. Also, what you can look forward to on the new Greg Cody show featuring Greg Cody and this week with another guest, Greg Cody, is the debut of Mount Gregmore. Mount Gregmore. So if you want.
Sounds like the best episode yet.
If you want.
Thank you.
If you want yet more Greg Cody, and I don't feel like anyone was clamoring for any more Greg Cody, but if you want any more Greg Cody, he's got a podcast. He is one of the oldest people in the universe to have a podcast. And the podcast is The Greg Cody Show featuring Greg Cody. This week
with Greg Cody. Not featuring. The Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
So this week.
Great review and listen.
So this week's Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody, with special guest Greg Cody. And as you said, the debut of Mount Gregmore.
I'm jealous.
Mike, get me the short stat of the day music because I just want to give Stugatz a stat that he's going to be amazed by.
Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Start of the day. It is the start of the day.
So this is from Mark Bennett on Twitter. At 40 years old, Jerry Rice had 93 receptions at 40 years old. There are two players tied for second for career receptions after the age of 40, right after Jerry Rice. Those two players with catches after the age of 40, with one catch, Tom Brady, with one catch, Brett Favre. Those are the only other people.
The gunslinger.
Who are second to Jerry Rice in catches after the age of 40.
Welcome to another Greg Cody Tuesday. a weekly celebration of white mediocrity.
Finally, guys, Thomas Edison's last breath is contained in a test tube in Michigan. How about that?
His last breath is in a test tube?
Wasn't Edison born in Fort Myers?
Wow, that's useless.
I think he was.
I mean, that's fun.
No,
that's
that's
fundamentally useless.
I'm like, on
that's
it, Greg.
Not contributing anything to the conversation.
It is.
I really hope you're wrong on this on top of everything else.
He was born in Ohio.
I love that. I mean, it's not just that you're useless, but also factually inaccurate.
There's
with your useless information.
Something having to do with Edison right.
Okay,
and Fort
thanks.
Myers.
Make it worse. Okay, great.
No, I mean, Google it.
Okay, well.
Google Edison.
I don't want to do this anymore.
I'm on it, Greg. I'm on it.
It's like a Thomas Edison High School or something in Fort
Myers. Okay. Wow. You are climbing up the uninteresting ladder.
Thomas Edison and Henry Ford both had winter estates in Fort Myers.
Oh.
What are you celebrating other than ruining the show?
This is another Greg Cody Tuesday, a weekly celebration of Caucasian mediocrity.
Be Greg. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at Progressive.com. Today on ESPN Daily, Cam Newton is a New England Patriot. Was it the move of the century, or could it backfire? Hear whether this means the Patriots are back on ESPN Daily. Presented by Marathon. These days, we have to travel smart. Marathon can help by improving engine performance with quality top-tier gasoline. Marathon, fueling the American spirit. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcast.
So on a daily basis here, I'm basically chasing Stugatz around. He's got a jester's hat with bells on it, and that's something we've been doing for years. I chase him around with a pitchfork. I try to be journalist guy, and he wins. On Tuesdays, we've got double the rodeo clowns around here. And so it's not enough that Greg Cody comes in here today and doesn't have his work done. But, Stugatz, for some reason, yesterday I was talking. I won't say we were talking because you didn't offer anything yesterday on this subject. Yeah. I was talking about John Elway turning 60 over the weekend and how that will make people of a certain age feel really old to think of John Elway, sort of the symbol for athleticism across a certain time, to think of him as 60 years old. Yesterday, you gave me nothing on this subject. You offered me no help, but today you surmised that I was taking John Elway's 60th birthday harder than anybody. So how are you surmising that? Based on what? Based on the fact that I simply mentioned that he turned 60 over the weekend?
I did have a weekend observation about Elway. It was mean. It was about horses turning 60, but we digress. There was a couple of times that it was brought up during the show. You brought it up, and I could hear the pain in your voice. In fact, I said 60 at one time, and you were like, yeah, and it felt like it hurt. And what I meant to put on the topic she did was, you're not alone. I took it the same way. And I think what happened yesterday was I was shocked anyone took it as hard as I did, because you took it the same way that I took it. Where I saw that Elway turned 60 over the weekend, and I was in actual physical pain. That's how badly it hurt my body that John Elway had turned 60. That happened quickly. That made me feel old. And I just wanted you to know that you're not alone, my friend. I feel your pain. Elway turning 60 is as bad as a birthday has ever hurt me in my life.
I feel like you really pivoted there, because you were blaming me for taking it harder than anybody, and now all of a sudden you've adopted my pain, and I don't think I believe you. I certainly don't believe that you felt physical pain. Like, that's a ridiculous thing to say. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Do you ever feel physical pain when someone else gets older? Because it doesn't make any sense what you're saying. But, Greg, your thoughts were what when you heard that John Elway, one of the, you know, anybody would put him in the top five quarterbacks ever. John Elway was 60 years old.
Whippersnapper. You know, honestly, that doesn't seem that old. You know, 60 is the new 50. quite frankly. Elway looks great. You know, he's still got the beautiful teeth. He's got all that. He's got all of his hair, more hair than I have, more money. So, you know, I don't good for him. You know, happy birthday, John. That's, I think.
You really petered out there. Why was it Mount Rushmore? You're really bringing it strong here. See, people wonder why it is that I get mad at him. Like, happy birthday, John. That kind of thing is
what am I going to say about John Elway's birthday?
Well, hey, you know, I was really wondering if there was a birthday. Like, have you ever stumbled upon someone else's birthday where it hurt you, Greg, because you're like, I can't believe that guy got that old that quickly. Has that happened to you at all?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. We just lost Don Shula at age 90. And the idea that Don Shula turned 90, because, you know, when I first saw an image of him in my mind, he's 35 years old. And to think that 50 years had raced by another sign of everyone's mortality. So, yeah, when Shula hit 90, that was like, whoa.
I would think that John Elway would be your wheelhouse, Greg. When you throw up your hands and say John Elway's birthday, what could I possibly give you there? If you're not useful on the subject of John Elway, like, where are the wheelhouses that I could go to get like some real superstar commentary from you? Like, I'm already doing sports radio where we're talking about a 60-year-old man. We're talking about John Elway, and, you know, sports radio is not built atop the backs of 60-year-old men unless they're the ones at the microphones. They're not the ones that we talk about are playing sports. And if that's not your wheelhouse, Chris, do you have any defense of your father here?
No, I mean, nothing surprising about what he did there, but I'm surprised you have a consensus that John Elway is a top five quarterback of all time. I mean, that's I don't know if that's true.
Chris, you're showing your age, Chris. He's a top five quarterback of all time.
Consensus
top five quarterback of all five Super Bowls, won two of them, lost the first three, won two on the heels of Terrell Davis, but still he's a top five quarterback of all time. He went to five Super Bowls, won two of them.
See, Cody?
Borderline.
Cody, but you see, that's what a wheelhouse sounds like. That's what it's, do you see? That's how you do radio right there, Cody. Did you see? Both of them, they were alley-ooping to each other while you got disoriented and started talking about Don Shula.
You weren't asking me about John Elway's place in history. You were asking me about him turning 60, which is an unremarkable number. If we're lucky at all, we all turn 60. It's like graduating kindergarten. They have a ceremony for kindergarten graduation. It's ridiculous.
You see, Dan threw the same question to me, and I took it where I wanted to go.
That's right.
You can take it somewhere interesting. Yes, like, yes. If you don't find the question interesting, take it somewhere else.
But Chris, and this again, I'm gonna fail on my vow two segments in. I want you to absorb how bad you have to be as a columnist to never know what's interesting. Like, I just want you to absorb, he's been doing it for 40 years, and he doesn't know what interesting looks like.
You find John Elway turning 60 to be fascinating, apparently. I don't. You always make fun of Sports Talk Radio talking about, is he a top five quarterback of all time? You want me to go there? No, he's not a top five quarterback of all time. He's got beautiful teeth.
Oh, there
he
it is.
He won a couple of Super Bowls. That's
all
about it.
All right. All right. Very
wow.
good.
You know, the Mount Greg Moore we can get into sometime if you want to.
Oh, I would love to hear the Mount Greg Moore of quarterbacks. So, there's nothing I want more.
Yes.
There are only four of them, right? There aren't five of them on the Mount Greg Moore, right?
Oh, yeah. That's why we're better than Rushmore, because Greg Moore's five, not four.
This is another Greg Cody Tuesday. A weekly celebration of white mediocrity.
You have driven into a radio studio right. and sat with us doing a radio show for what, 3 years now?
Something like that.
What have you learned? Three years.
Right.
You drive in here, you sit on radio with us, you're a smart man, we love having you around. What have you learned?
You know, a lot of it is nuanced. A lot of it is difficult to describe in words. Most of it's just feel, you know what I mean?
So nothing. So the answer is nothing.
That's right.
This is another Greg Cody Tuesday. For over a decade, a weekly celebration of white mediocrity.
Guest on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil
no!
line. What happened?
just sound really bad.
I do. The last few days, I've never sounded better, to be honest with you. Except for right there. All guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on sequence 4A wear test using SAE5W-30. Here's your SportsCenter update. Ryan Zimmerman and Joe Ross of the Nationals, Ian Desmond of the Rockies, Mike Leake of the Diamondbacks have opted out of returning to play baseball this season. DeAndre Jordan and Spencer Dinwiddie of the Nets say that they have tested positive for the coronavirus. And finally, Chris Bosh still hasn't returned the championship ring Pat Riley gave him at their 2010 meeting. That's awesome. Soccer is back on ESPN Plus, Serie A, FA Cup, MLS, and more. Plus, get original series, exclusive studio shows, and the complete 30 for 30 library. Stream soccer from the best leagues and tournaments around the world, all in HD, all on your favorite devices. The beautiful game lives on ESPN Plus. Sign up today at ESPNplus.com or in the ESPN app. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Pat Riley got us good. He got us good. The whole legend behind getting the big three outside of them colluding and agreeing to it years before is Pat Riley going into a meeting and throwing championship rings on a table. That Chris Bosh story leads me to believe it was a fake ring. Because Chris goes on to say, the whole story is Pat throws the rings on there and he picks up the 2006 ring and Pat tells Chris Bosh, you hold on to that until you win one of your own. And Chris Bosh goes on to say, I tried to give it back to him once and Pat's like, what are you talking about? I don't even remember that. It was a dummy ring. He used a fake ring to seal the big three.
Are you reporting that exclusively? You're jumping to that conclusion.
Pat would know what he's talking about if he's missing his actual 2006 ring.
I mean, I think it's a fair conclusion for Mike to jump to. And you know Riley, if it was real, Riley wants the ring back. The fact that he's not pushing to get it back suggests to me that it's a total fake, that perhaps he got one of those grocery stores for a quarter. I mean,
it's a heady play, though. If you know you're going to be dropping them on a table for dramatic effect, you don't want them to get chipped. You don't want I'm sure they're very valuable, these things. So it's a heady play by Riley.
Wow. So you guys now have Pat Riley having a bunch of dummy rings that he uses just for those occasions when he's recruiting. And he's hoping that no one's got a jeweler's eye and can notice that those are not real rings.
He's got a prop department. That or it's Wayne Simeon's ring. It's somebody's ring. I'm not doubting that it's a real ring because Chris Bosh probably knows what one of those looks like. But for Pat to say, what are you even talking about, and not remember the fact that he's missing his 06 ring, this is leading me to believe it's fake.
I mean, I honestly think that that's the better alternative to just Pat's old and he forgot he gave away something very valuable, Dan. You don't want that running the franchise.
Well, I really don't know which one's worse because Mike Ryan just made him Gallagher and Carrot Top. He's got a prop department.
Or was it just Ellisberg's ring? He's like, hey, give me the ring. I got an idea how to like seal this deal.
Stugatz, have you seen the video during a game of Cam Newton's? He is inside of the Green Bay. I think he's playing Green Bay inside of the 10-yard line, and somebody on the Packer defense starts shouting, wheel route, wheel route, wheel route. And then what Cam Newton does is he says out loud before starting, you know, his cadence, he says, you've been watching film, huh? And then he's like, that's cool. Watch this. And then he drops back and it's not a wheel route. It's a fake wheel route. And they score a touchdown with Christian McCaffrey. And I will never, and you will never, and no one listening to this will ever be as cool as Cam Newton was in that particular moment. Like you.
I love that. The fact that he had the conversation during an NFL game in which he is playing the most important position in sports, the wherewithal to look at a guy, hey, you've been studying film, huh? Like the game slows down that much for Cam Newton where he's aware, he has the conversation, he knows it's not the play he's going to, and then he executes the play that he wants. And the Patriots just got that by sitting around and breathing. It's unbelievable.
I wonder how often NFL Films protects players, because I could totally see Baker Mayfield doing that and throwing a pick six.
I am finding fascinating what Stugatz said yesterday during weekend observations, which is not just that Boston is getting a black guy at that position. Boston's getting that black guy at that position. And that one's got some potential to go wrong quickly. If you know Boston's history, they haven't started a quarterback who they didn't draft, Stugatz, themselves since 1993. Scott Seculees was the last time they started a quarterback that wasn't drafted by them. You know Boston's history. Boston's black players will tell you of their history. And now he's taking over for Tom Brady. And his style, Stugatz, is swag. It's all swag. And yeah, it'll be real interesting to see what the reaction to Boston is.
It's tough. He's the guy that's going to replace the guy, right? And that's going to be difficult. But there's also an opportunity for Cam Newton. And I know what you're saying, Dan, in terms of the city of Boston. And that's really the shameful thing about playing in the city of Boston. You lose, you come to those press conferences dressed the way Cam's going to be dressed. You know he's going to hear it. He's going to get it. But there is an opportunity for Cam to replace a guy who left New England. His last pass was a pick six. And if Cam has a big year and they have a big year, he'll be beloved in that city right up until he stinks.
Well, I'd be careful with that, right? Because there were plenty of people who didn't like Cam when he was an MVP. Never mind stinking. There were plenty of people who do not like, that he knows how good he is. There are plenty of people who do not like how, that he knows how statuesque beautiful he is. And so that stuff, doesn't tend to fly in Boston, but specifically at that position, replacing that guy on that team, it's an interesting mix of cocktail ingredients.
Welcome to another Greg Cody Tuesday, a weekly celebration of white mediocrity.
Mike is seething back there. Does Mike seem happy to you right now?
Seething.
Wow, that's how we're getting off. We do this job for a living, and it's a lot of fun. It's great joy. And look at how you've started. You've started by enraging Mike and me, both of us. And look, and you cackle and howl in our
faces.
It's
funny to watch him seethe.
Yeah.
He's Mike Seether in the Silver Bullet Band.
Hey.
Is it hot in here? I find myself sweating.
It is a bit hot today, yeah.
It's hot, right?
Usually cold in here.
Yeah.
Yep.
This is another Greg Cody Tuesday, a weekly celebration of Caucasian mediocrity.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. We love sports. Sports inspire us. They give us hope in ourselves and the world, and, of course, in amazing comebacks. Our love for sports grows each day. Dear Sports is our love letter to sports. Share your Dear Sports letter with us. Call 860-506-6161 or share a video or text using the hashtag Dear Sports on Twitter or Instagram.
So Chris Cody must have enjoyed putting those together at his father's expense. We'll get back to him in a moment here because I do want to talk to him about this. But Stugatz, Pablo Torre mentioned something that I had not considered yesterday as it comes to the NBA allowing its players, if there are indeed a playoffs, to put social justice messages on their uniforms. I think. Yep. Most of us can sit there and say, okay, if they're down with a cause. I mean, I guess some people would say, I don't want it with my sports. I don't want to be reminded of it during the escape. But I think most people can hear that idea and say, okay, this is basketball, which has a good partnership with its players, saying to its players, because we know that at this time you don't want to detract from a message by playing basketball, here's a way to merge the two symbolically. But the thing that Pablo Torre mentioned that I hadn't considered is the difficulties of making the NBA a content moderator if Enes Kanter decides to wear a jersey that says Free Hong Kong on it. Like, what the hell? Like, what do you do? I understand if they're social justice. Are they only the social? They must be only the social justice messages we're allowed to agree with, right?
Yeah, the ones that they agree with. They have to be okay, and they have to be on board with it. I didn't think about that. They have put themselves in a tricky spot. If indeed other players,
well, that's,
like Edith
that,
Gander,
that is why
there.
That yeah. is why it is called a uniform, and that's why the NFL won't let Peyton Manning even wear
sure.
Shoes that remember the late Johnny Unitas. Because if you don't keep it uniform, what you allow for is a freedom of expression that might not run in line with what your corporation believes in.
You may remember Tim Tebow, famous for having scripture on his eye black, but in the NFL, not allowed to, because the people that embrace that scripture of Tim Tebow's may not be so crazy if someone of a different faith decides to put those scriptures on their eye black.
I want to get back to that in a second, but Chris, first tell me the delight that you derived from putting together, I think mediocrity is a promotion when we call it Tuesdays a celebration of mediocrity. What you're playing for us is sheer incompetence.
I enjoyed doing this so much. Now, not being in the studio and having our full archive at my disposal, I've just simply had to go into YouTube and just start listening to old Greg Cody appearances. And it's been really fun, honestly. A lot of these come from like the same show. He's really bad.
But to Dan's point, I think he takes mediocre as a compliment.
Do you? Do you, Cody?
Mediocre is an upgrade most days.
Do you believe that mediocre is giving you some praise because you're actually below average?
No, of course not. It's all an act on my part. You know, I'm doing this for the public good. My philosophy is that, you know, the whole vile, repulsive concept of white supremacy, I'm trying to go the other way and prove that white people can be mediocre, you know, that we're not all thinking along the terms of that. So it's okay, it's something great. That I do intentionally.
Very awkward. How do you feel in general about the idea that your son was at the height of this betrayal, that your son is the reason that you find yourself being called mediocre?
Yeah, when I first heard about this bit.
It's Dan, Stu, and Greg Cody on ESPN Radio.